Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
The National Basketball Association has banned Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life and fined him $2.5 million for racist comments he allegedly made on an audio tape.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
And the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, says he will do everything in his power to force Sterling to sell the Clippers.
The views expressed by Mr. Sterling are deeply offensive and harmful. That they came from an NBA owner only heightens the damage and my personal outrage.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 30th. So was this an appropriate or inappropriate punishment over Sterling's comments when he told his girlfriend in this recorded conversation with her that he did not want her bringing black people, including Magic Johnson, to Clippers games? That's today's big question. And we welcome your reaction at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Nick Gillespie. He is editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV, columnist for The Daily Beast and Time.com. He is also a co-author of The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. His piece on L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling was posted Sunday at Reason.com, and we've also posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Joy. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. So what's your reaction to the action that the NBA took against Sterling?
I think it makes sense in two basic ways that any kind of business organization, and the NBA is first and foremost about business, that makes sense. One is that Sterling's remarks were deeply offensive and troubling to people within the organization, both within the Clippers organization but throughout the league, and you had a number of players, including at least one player on his own team, saying, you know, this is messed up and this is, you know, this is not good for us for, I think, obvious reasons. And then the larger question is also, how would this affect the larger NBA and its ability to kind of get on with the business of basketball? So, you know, just from a kind of pragmatic point of view, it was such a disruptive kind of exposure, both within and without the business. I think it makes sense. On a larger level, when you think about questions about race and integration and equal opportunity and the role that sports have played both in denying that to particularly African Americans and also expediting equality and kind of racial Congress, it also becomes, I think it makes sense. Race for too long, or let me put it this way, professional sports as well as amateur sports for way too long, for decades, if not generations, was a site of exclusion of African Americans. It became one of the great places where African Americans could literally compete on a level playing field with whites, and good things happened for whites and blacks after that. So, it makes sense to get rid of people, who have a mindset like Donald Sterling. That's not the end of the discussion, but I think it makes sense that he was banned for life.
You wrote it was hard to see any way forward other than giving Sterling the boot.
Right.
Why did you think that was the only option?
Well, because, again, the National Basketball League, National Basketball Association in particular, relies heavily on black players, and it has a large black fan base, and it is, not just to say, okay, well, you got to keep the customer happy, although that's one of the great ways to get rid of racism is by businesses deciding, okay, rather than following from either legal segregation or threats of violence against my business, I'm going to do what I can to get as many customers and keep them happy. It makes total sense. And when you look in the past in other leagues, and one of the things that's interesting is that these leagues are odd business organizations because the team owners individually own the team, but then they have an association with the with a league that can override their personal interests in all sorts of ways that would not be tolerated in many other industries. The NBA's constitution of ownership is actually a secret document. People don't know what it is, and that's one of the reasons why there was so much hypothesizing and kind of prophesying about what would happen. But it seemed to me when you looked at, what happened to Marge Schott, the owner of the Cincinnati Reds in baseball, who, you know, it turned out was kind of a fan of Hitler. She got banned from baseball for those remarks because they were so incendiary. It just seemed to me the odds were strong that a new commissioner, Adam Silver, has only been on the job for a couple of months, was going to do what he could to really both make a statement for the league, but also to kind of set the tone for his commissionership.
Yeah, Donald Sterling hasn't exactly led a quiet life. He reportedly made racist statements before. He's been sued by the U.S. Department of Justice for saying he didn't like to rent to blacks and Hispanics.
Right, and he settled a lawsuit, a racial discrimination lawsuit about housing stuff, because that's where his money was made. He's, worth something like $2 billion. That's another reason why it seemed pretty likely that he was going to get the boot. He had a track record of problematic behavior and problematic comments, and until recently, the Clippers were never a marquee franchise as well, and, it would be a lot harder for the for the NBA to and they're not unilaterally, it's with the support of the owners, but to bounce an owner of a storied or legendary or highly popular franchise. And Donald Sterling was not a popular owner, and the Clippers are not yet a top tier franchise.
Well, Matthew on Facebook says Sterling has been making racist comments like this for years. Why is this an issue now?
Well, I think it's because it became public in a way that was incontrovertible. I mean, one of the more interesting cases in Sterling's past was a age and race discrimination suit brought by the former general manager and, NBA legend Elgin Baylor some years ago. And that kind of petered out or got settled out of court. But it didn't have, the immediacy of a TMZ tape that was uncontrollable by either Sterling or the league or anybody. There's no spinning any of this type of stuff. By the same token, by the way, just to throw it out there, which I think is a fascinating response, at Time, at Time.com, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, arguably the greatest NBA player of all time, he wrote a fascinating piece where he said Sterling is despicable and he should be bounced from the NBA, but also that we should be outraged that Sterling's private phone conversations are being aired in this way and that there's something troubling about that. And, and I think that that's a real and legitimate point, especially in an age of ubiquitous government and possibly corporate and possibly family surveillance of one another.
Yeah, Sterling is married, but has a girlfriend who happens to be of black and Mexican descent. She is allegedly the one who recorded this conversation. Should that matter?
Yeah, well, there are two ways that it should matter. It probably matters in a court of law because, certain types of evidentiary standards are going to be in play. There are questions about, it seems likely she was the one who leaked it to TMZ, but it's not clear, and she's embroiled in some kind of lawsuit with Sterling. And apparently, he and his wife have a more sophisticated arrangement in terms of marriage than many of us have. So it's not that it was news to his wife that he was, he was maintaining mistresses, but let me put it this way. I think, in a court of law, how you get the tape or where it comes from matters. In the court of public opinion, not so much, because in the end, the focus is on what he's saying and what he's doing. One of the things, though, I think it's useful to think about this case in conjunction with the case of the Mozilla CEO, Brendan Eich, who was fired after it came to light that he had donated to Proposition 8 in California, which was an anti-gay marriage ballot initiative. These kinds of questions are going to be coming up more and more because our lives have become more transparent. More of our stuff is around, it's being recorded, or we're recording it online. And then on top of that, also adding to that, is the idea that businesses are not just about making a buck. They are about kind of statements of principles or of their mission-driven, and that it's not enough to simply be a good businessman. Your personal life is going to have a real implication and impact on your professional life as well. And again, that is not all good. That is not an unalloyed good. I think that raises a lot of serious questions.
We are talking with Nick Gillespie about the NBA's sanctioning of Clippers owner Donald Sterling, and we're welcoming your reaction. Do you think Sterling's punishment is appropriate? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. Your gift makes a huge difference. It makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. So step up right now. Be counted as a supporter with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Joy, I have some great news to report, and not just the news that Sheboygan is now a surfing hotspot.
Oh,
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that. But last hour, we heard from 32 listeners, and we made our matching goal, so it was big success all the way around. But like Sisyphus, our task now is to roll that rock back to the top of the hill again.
We need
45 pledges this hour. We are on the way. We've got two in the door, so 43 more to go. These hourly goals are important, which is why we talk about them so much. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. Take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio is much like a state town hall meeting. It's where people come together to hear about topics and issues that they care about, to ask questions, to share opinions, to share information.
Well, and because you benefit from this community, we're asking you to help pay for it. Your support is a very important piece of what makes the Ideas Network possible. Be part of this great tradition with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. We need your name, contact information, and how much you'd like to pledge and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I became a sustaining member because I listened to WPR throughout the day. It's in my car, it's in my home. I know that there is always a topic of interest that I'll enjoy hearing. I like being a sustainer because I'm listening to Wisconsin Public Radio all the time anyway, and I would rather not have to worry about responding and making an extra phone call or sending in the envelope that gets mailed to me. I just like knowing that my money is there and will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come. I would say become a sustaining member because it's so very easy. Do it today, you'll be glad that you did. I'm Nancy from New Berlin, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Make your donation in support of this service that you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, asking for your gift of any amount to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring membership drive.
And Joy, we still need 43 pledges. We've got about 35 minutes to get them. Your pledge, your support is what makes the difference here at WPR. It makes all these great programs possible. Be part of making it happen. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, John, look at this. Iwa from Madison simply says with her pledge, I love you.
I love you, too.
Oh, I love you, Iwa. Amy from Stoughton says, I adore Public Radio. Thank you for having your membership drive and spurring me to pledge. That's one of the first times I've heard someone saying thank you for having a pledge drive. But if we
Man, that defines hardcore listener right there. Thank you for having a pledge drive. Well, thanks for pledging.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that's just it's just heartwarming to hear these comments.
It really is.
It's one of the things that gets us to come to work every day. Hey, listen, here's a great idea. When you make your pledge, ask for our 2014 artist mug. It was designed by Renee Grafe, a nationally known illustrator from Cedarburg, Wisconsin.
And you can make that pledge of $12.50 a month or $150 a year if you'd like the mug, or your gift of any amount to support listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, John. Back now to our big question discussion with Nick Gillespie, who is with Reason.com, Reason TV, a columnist for the Daily Beast and Time.com, talking about the punishment handed down to the Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling following racist comments that he made that became public on an audio tape. Asking if you think Sterling's punishment is appropriate or not. He was banned for life from the NBA. He was fined $2.5 million, the maximum amount allowed by league rules, and he may also be forced to sell the team. So let's go to our callers. Jeff in Appleton is with us first. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I don't agree with what Mr. Sterling said. Not at all. But what I will say is that we don't have to agree with everybody. And for someone to lose his team and everything, I think is completely ludicrous. Kobe Bryant was accused of rape, and given time, he's been able to resume his place as a role model for people. You look at the bad behavior that goes on all over the place. This is far, I think it's far from the worst behavior I've seen from people, and this guy's going to lose everything. I should say not everything, but he's going to lose his team.
Yeah.
And also to say that his arrangement with his wife is somewhat sophisticated and in some way better or more refined than what everybody else has, I think is ludicrous. The guy was cheating on his wife.
Well, that's, I guess, a part of the discussion. But what about this guy should not lose everything for his thoughts, I guess, when there have been far worse examples of crime, you know, lawbreakers who have since redeemed themselves, Nick.
Right. Well, you know, one thing, I am not a fan of Kobe Bryant, but it's important to point out that he was not charged and he was not found guilty of any kind of crime other than, you know, what seems to be ugly behavior. Without a doubt. You know, the caller raises a couple of good issues. Mark Cuban, the outspoken owner of the Dallas Mavericks and the co-host of the TV business reality show Shark Tank, you know, has also taken to talking about this and said, you know, people have a right to be a moron. But he also said that, you know, in the context of an ownership deal, you also sign a kind of morals clause and whatnot. Because this is an enormously lucrative business. So I, you know, on a contractual basis, there seems to be no question that the NBA is within its rights to ban Sterling. And with a vote of the ownership, apparently, again, I had mentioned that the NBA's constitution is secret, but from what's been discussed, basically if three-quarters or two-thirds of the owners vote to make another owner sell their team, that can happen, and it's likely that that will happen. So within the rights there, but Cuban also raised an interesting question, and this goes to that larger discussion of, you know, where does your work life, where does your personal life end and your work life begin and whatnot? Cuban said, you know, what about now when, if we start hearing athletes or owners, and I think athletes and owners are going to be held to different standards for good reason, you know, what if they start making homophobic comments? And the NBA is a hotbed of homophobia. You know, as is professional sports in general, by all accounts, or anti-religious statements or pro-religious statements. You know, these are interesting questions, and we're moving into a new era in American kind of business life where, as I was saying before, you know, a company is not simply about making a product or a service. It's about creating a symbolic activity that includes a lot of stuff that just wasn't really under discussion even 20 years ago.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. The National Basketball Association banned L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life following racist comments recorded on audio tape. He was also fined $2.5 million. He may also be forced to sell the team. In today's big question, we are asking you, do you think Sterling's punishment is appropriate or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. We'll get back to our big question discussion in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining me is John Munson because it is our spring membership drive, and your support is an essential piece of the funding for the Joy Cardine Show and all of the programs that you enjoy on WPR. This drive is time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Joy Cardine and I are here with a great opportunity for you this morning, your opportunity to help pay for the programs you depend on. Now, here's what we're looking for. We're looking for 38 more pledges in the next 23 minutes or so. Please make your donation now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On this show, you often hear multiple sides of an issue so you can make up your own mind, and you can count on hearing fair, inclusive conversation. Civil, too. Together, we keep up on the issues of the day, we have some fun, we follow our curiosity, and we learn.
That's right, Joy. There's really nothing else like this on the radio. It's something special. Your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. It's the single biggest piece of our funding, listener support. Make your pledge during this, our spring membership drive at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I want to try to help people recognize the importance of Wisconsin Public Radio. They provide such a good, non-biased background for us to make our decisions by. We need to recognize that the newspapers and the television programs are owned predominantly from the same people. So this is one of the few sources that we have non-biased information from both sides. Look at that, and let's understand this little gold mine that we have.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your support. Your gift of any amount, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, there are a lot of ways to say make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I think I've said every single one of them.
We can
say,
I have.
Repeatedly, stand up and be counted. Make your voice heard. Support what you love. Well, you do all of those things, and you really do make a difference when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is pooled with other member contributions to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
And what do we do with that money? Well, here's what we do with it. We use it to bring you great programs like the Joy Cardine Show every day. Make your pledge right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Hannah and Jeff from Cedarburg, who say it's about time we became members as we listen all the time.
Yay.
I really wanted the WPR mug. We have several children's books illustrated by this artist. It's Renee Grafe, and we live in Cedarburg, so we wanted to show our support. Well, thank you so much. If you'd like one of those artist mugs, Pledge $150 or more, that's $12.50 a month, to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
38, that's the number of pledges we need to get this hour to make our goal. We've got about 20 minutes to get them, so we need you to be next at WPR.org. 888-202-2552, and thank you.
Thank you, John. We'll talk to you a little bit later. We are talking about the NBA banning Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life, fining him $2.5 million for racist comments that he made on an audio tape. And the NBA commissioner says he will do everything in his power to force Sterling to sell the Clippers. So was this an appropriate or inappropriate response to Sterling's comments? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. That is today's big question. And we are discussing it with our guest, Nick Gillespie, the editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV. He is also a columnist for the Daily Beast, a weekly columnist for Time.com, and the co-author of The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. He wrote about the Sterling controversy on his blog, and we've also posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, let's see. Let's go to Paula in La Crosse. Hello, Paula.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I just wanted to comment that I totally agree with what happened to the owner, and I'm just wondering if your guest would know that $2.5 million that he was fined, I sure hope that goes to benefit some good out of this, like possibly inner city Los Angeles Boys and Girls Clubs, and I don't know if your guest knows where that fine money is going.
I heard it was going to groups, something like that. Nick, do you know?
Yeah, I suspect, it will be given to some kind of charitable organization that's affiliated with the NBA. One of the things to recognize, too, is that fine, it's a lot of money for, I suspect, everybody on this call, for Sterling, who's worth about $2 billion. It's a symbolic kind of rebuke or slap in the face.
Uh-oh, we might be losing Nick on his cell phone. But let's. We have a Jerry on Facebook who says, "Good riddance. Too bad they couldn't force him to divest." But Nick, in a way, they are going to force him to sell the team if the majority or 75% of the league's owners want to force him out. Yep, I think we lost our guest. So. Take more calls. We can take more of your sound off calls at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. The National Basketball Association banned LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life following racist comments that he made on an audio tape. Fined $2.5 million, the maximum amount allowed by league rules, and may be forced to sell the team. Do you think Sterling's punishment is appropriate? We have this big question posted online where you can vote yes, the NBA got it right, or no, the penalty is too harsh, or maybe you're not sure. But we can take your comments here as well if we don't have our guest. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. Oh, we did reestablish contact with Nick Gillespie, and the comment from Jerry was, too bad they couldn't force Sterling to divest. In a way, they will be able to force him to sell the team?
No, I mean, it's not fully clear because of, as I've been saying, the constitution of the NBA is secret. But my understanding is that a owner, if a plurality of owners or a supermajority of owners decide that he should go, they will be able to, under the constitution and charter of the NBA, get him. They'll be able to force him to make a sale, which will, by the way, probably net him another $1 billion.
Yeah, he'll make a lot of money there.
Yeah,
there are some who say
this is Sterling's freedom of speech. He's being, those freedom of speech rights are being violated. He's being, people are being silenced by this kind of treatment. What would your response to that be?
Well, I mentioned that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar piece as well as a piece by Mark Cuban, the owners of the Dallas Mavericks, where they raise related concerns about that. What's going on? Because it's not as if Sterling was saying this in the execution of his job as owner. Just to complicate the situation for argument's sake, at the very least, he pays his top three players for this season alone. All of them are black. He's paying them combined $54 million. So, he obviously has, retrograde. He's 80 years old. Retrograde, bizarre fixations on race and on skin color. By the same token, he's also paying his players exceptionally well, who are black. So there's that. I do think, though, when you talk about freedom of speech, it's important to understand that freedom of speech, it's not. I'm a First Amendment absolutist, and I think Donald Sterling has the right to say whatever he wants in whatever context he wants. But you will suffer certain types of consequences, not because of political correctness or speech repression, but because the actual content of those thoughts is offensive to many people. In other areas, I am extremely concerned about limitations on the First Amendment and the freedom of speech, especially as it goes into things like dealing with the government or dealing with certain types of whistleblower activities, which somehow, which people are trying to minimize through all sorts of kind of tamping down on First Amendment free speech. And we see this in our, in our schools and things like that, where there's very legitimate concerns about freedom of expression, particularly of heterodox intellectual ideas.
Richard emails, he should have been forced out of the NBA a long time ago due to his other discriminatory actions over the years, as well as his questionable morals otherwise. It brings into question how concerned the NBA really is about its owners' actions until they become so public that they have no other choice but to take action.
That's an accurate reading of it. It may be that in the end, it's not up to the NBA to have people, have owners who are good people. But, this is if adultery or out of marriage, out of wedlock, sex is a disqualifying offense for being in the NBA, then there will be very few players left, and I suspect very few coaches and very few owners as well. We don't demand moral probity from our professional athletes or from most of our corporate actors, which is, I think that makes sense. And again, what this story ultimately to me is about is more about this shifting line between personal lives and public lives and professional lives, because of things like Facebook and social media and because of ubiquitous recording and surveillance, we're in a different era than we were 30, 40, 50 years ago. It might be before and after Anthony Weiner, world that we live in where, personal lives were much more walled off from professional lives. And there were good things about that and bad things about that.
Let's go to John in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, John.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. My concern is exactly what you've mentioned there is, this is obviously, it began with a fight between the boyfriend and a girlfriend. And, the one party knew she was being recorded, so she goaded him into that position because she understood that he didn't like what she was doing. And she, if you listen to the recording, she goaded him into saying things. And that's my problem with this is the one party knew the recording was being done. And you know how you can manipulate people and how you can talk to them. And especially if there's a heated conflict going on between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And that was a private conversation. And, to put this out and then ruin the man's life for it, I don't say what he said was good, but it's out of context.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's something there. There's no question that the girlfriend or the Vista Viano, the woman who made the recording and who was in a relationship with him, with Sterling,
she was leading him into, you know, troubled waters for sure. Because, and apparently there are many more tapes around and things like that. So she was looking for information that she could use in a lawsuit, or these are the allegations. You know, and this is the case where if Sterling had had a better reputation, he would have seen people, I think, support him in a way that they did not because of his past attitudes and his past actions, past lawsuits. Ironically, you know, this just shows where we are in terms of, you know, how, you know, the world is stranger than we can imagine. Sterling in the past had gotten an award from the NAACP for being a good guy in terms of race relations, and he was slated only a couple of weeks from now on May 15th to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award from the NAACP of Southern California. So it, you know, there's a lot of oddness to this whole episode, particularly as it talks about race, professional sports, kind of professional racial organizations, and how they select who gets an award, who doesn't, or why. You know, a lot of strangeness going on here. But the bottom line is, you know, Sterling said horrible things. They were in keeping with his, you know, with a well understood perspective about him. And that's why I think it led to him being kicked out. If he had a squeaky clean record on race beyond this, he might not be facing, you know, banishment from the NBA.
Yeah. Well, in conclusion, what's next in this story?
You know, hopefully, what's next in this story? I mean, you know, we know what's coming. Donald Sterling will be sitting at the, you know, the not only these playoffs for the Clippers, but you know, every professional basketball game for the rest of his life. Hopefully, you know, and will probably be forced to sell the team. I would predict. The best thing that can come out of this is actually that we have a meaningful discussion about race and about how far we've come as a society, the places where we have not. I have a piece up at Reason just yesterday, a video about how, you know, whatever you can say about people like Clive and Bundy, the federal land rancher who has odd racial theories, and Donald Sterling, these are old men who represent an older America. We've come a long way. There are still policies that affect Blacks in particular, but other racial minorities that we need to address, and that includes the K-12 school monopoly that traps poor kids in bad schools, the drug war, which locks up Blacks and other minorities in just unjustifiable and disgusting ways, barriers to work, whether it's occupational licensing that hurts low-income, unskilled entrepreneurs most of all, whether you're a daycare operator or a hair braider. You know, if we can have a discussion about where we need to be getting in terms of racial discrimination and true equality, you know, then at least we can salvage some, you know, positive thing outside of this current controversy from the Sterling affair.
Nick, thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. And if I can just say, you know, support your show and support Wisconsin Public Radio, because you guys are one of the very few places throughout the country where you can have a wide range of guests with really intelligent and civil, informed and provocative conversation. So, you know, it really is a public service. And as a libertarian, I believe in private charity all the way. And, you know, people who like your show should support it.
Thank you so much. That was Above and Beyond. Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV, columnist for The Daily Beast and a weekly columnist for Time.com. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and this is our spring membership drive. We rely on you and your contributions to keep this program going. Your gift of any amount right now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, thanks to 13 of you who've made a pledge this hour. That's great, including 6 brand new members. We need 32 more of you to make a pledge in the next 5 minutes or so in order to keep us on track and keep the Joy Cardine Show going strong. Make your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our conversation, our big question, talking about the NBA punishment of Clippers owner Donald Sterling. It's an example of one of the timely and important conversations that we have on this show.
And now we're asking you to take just a couple of minutes to make this hour and many more hours like it possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider making a donation of $1,200. You know, you might say, really? But you know what? Someone made one of those contributions.
That's right,
just
right at the beginning
hour,
of the hour. Right, yes, absolutely.
Beginning. So listener support is crucial to WPR's future.
Well, and if you'd like to do more than you've done before, well, consider making that leadership contribution of $100 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio. One thing I like about it is that I feel like I'm making a bigger contribution, but I also like it because it's ongoing and I don't have to worry about calling in for pledge drives and so forth. I feel like it's something that I depend on a regular basis, and so I think it's only fair that I contribute on a regular basis. I depend on it so much. It's just part of my life.
I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, asking for your gift to support Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we make it easy. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
Make a one-time gift, or better yet, you can start those automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how to give and then do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
32, that's the number of pledges we're looking for in the next few minutes. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making that contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your support of things that make your life more meaningful. You support those things. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Here you get information about events in our region and the world, and you also get music and humor and storytelling.
Well, you want a lot of news and information in the coming year. Your support now will make that possible. Your pledge, any amount, makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can ask as your thank you gift for your pledge of $150 or more, $12.50 a month, the 2014 Artist Mug. It was designed by Renee Grafe, a nationally known illustrator from Cedarburg, Wisconsin, and I love that it shows animals playing, listening to the radio and running the radio station.
Yeah, I don't know how comfortable I am with that. But...
I'm an otter, it looks like.
Okay, well, you otter make a pledge. Oh, I'm sorry, I went there. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. No matter what your reason, make your pledge right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks so much if you have already made your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. But if you haven't, we still have time for you. Join Linda from Germantown, who says, I love all the programs on Wisconsin
Amen.
Public Radio. And we love you for pledging, Linda. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson. This is the Ideas Network.